I want to go, ooh, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to be... I am really nervous. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Because one, it reminds me to call on my higher power, who's called Sid, by the way. So it's not my husband I'm talking about. And it shows me that I'm awake today. Shows me I'm alive. Because for many, many years, I was so dead. The only emotions I had was rage and anger and deep disappointment, as I would say. But today I get to feel all buzzy without using anything, without taking anything, without causing any trouble. You know, I get to stand here and physically shake and be sober and alert. And that's a miracle. That really is a miracle. I started using when I was 12 and a half. And what that did for me was keep me alive, because the situation I'd come from was unbearable, absolutely unbearable. And I found this extra stuff that would help me cope with that. So I used every day, all day. And I really believed that was okay, and that was normal, and that my life was manageable. So, step one, powerlessness. I never understood that, never got it. Even when I came in, I remember coming in and going, I got me here, so how am I powerless? Because I was really, still am, very arrogant when I came in. I didn't believe I suffered with what I suffer with. I definitely wasn't like any of yous. I was not like any of yous. You know, I was a big woman. I was 50 when I came in. You know, I had a house, I had a husband, car, kids, motorbike. I had all that stuff, you know. So I do swear, so I apologise now. So I thought I was the bollocks, you know. I just had this little tiny problem that I needed to sort, so I could go back to my sordid ways. Because my drinking had stopped me drug dealing. You know, I was messing up. I was losing stuff. You know, I'd been stabbed. I was going to prison. You know, my career, in that sense, was not going right. I was so powerless, and I did not know it. I was so unmanageable, and I did not know it. You know, I paid my bills. Unmanageable, you know? When I look back now and I have an understanding of my own unmanageability, what I see today is I didn't do, you know? Unmanageability, not doing. I did not love me, love my family, love life enough to do all right things, not to use, you know. I'd get up in the morning, take something, go an hour, take something else, go to lunch, do something else. You know, that was my day. That's how it worked. And on the outside, I looked like every other person that went to work and had husband and all that kind of stuff. But on the inside, I was dying. I was so, like I said, dead, so sad. So frustrated that I couldn't see a way out. This was me. I had accepted that I was a miserable cow. My life was going to be miserable, but long as I smiled, long as I looked like I had money, I was going to be all right. And that so wasn't true. That so wasn't true. You know, I had two children. I've got two children. And I read to them. I made their clothes for school, I did their parties, I did all those things. I wasn't there. I was not there. I didn't know how they felt, because I couldn't feel, you know? I missed so many beautiful opportunities to live the life that I live today. But because of my powerlessness, because of not knowing, not seeing, not hearing, because I suffer with the allergy, my life just went on as it did, you know? The weekend before I came in, I don't even know what happened. I genuinely really don't. I don't know what set that, I must die off, in a bigger way than it had done the day before. I really don't know. But I did what a lot of us do, try to kill myself. And obviously it didn't work because I'm still here. But I woke up and there was just a complete silence. And it talks about in the book that moment of clarity. At the time, I didn't know that. When I look back now, that was my moment of clarity. And I called somebody that did meetings. Not that I understood anything about recovery. For me, recovery was going to Bournemouth and never coming back, going to court, telling them you're in recovery and your sentence gets a third off. That's my understanding of recovery at the time. And I just remember ringing this woman and she said, there's a meeting tomorrow, come. And I went and I walked in and I looked at everybody and it was a CA meeting and I thought, I am not like them. So I introduced myself as an alcoholic. My malady will do anything to separate me, anything to see the differences, anything. And it will still do that today. It actually will still do that today. But the difference between then and now is my acceptance of who and what I am. Yeah. I am powerless over drink and drugs. I really am. Like I said, I've got that allergy. It goes in, I'm off and running. You know, I don't even want to stop. I don't want to stop. I want to keep going and keep partying. And don't matter where that takes me in the world, I will just keep going, you know? Because I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. And that's what this is about. You don't want to, or I don't want to feel what I have been feeling. And this is why today recovery works for me. Because today I want to feel what I am feeling. I really do. Whoosh, yeah? I really, really do. And I've got that by coming here, by finding somebody. That's a little bit of a fib because I found lots of people, to be quite honest. And I just listened to bits and bits and bits and bits because I was really stubborn, really arrogant, and only I could do this. I didn't need anybody's help. But I listened, I came to meetings, I took the little bits, or should I say, I let the little bits soak in. And the more they soaked in, the more it built. And the more I got to understand, you know, I read the doctor's opinion. And in that, I didn't understand the phenomenal craving because I had used, it was always there. I didn't go without. You know, I never had that day when people talk about looking for it on the floor. I was lucky enough to go to the cupboard, bang, take out some more, you know. But when I stopped and I came in here and that crazy head, that brrrr, I want, I this, I that, all those things, those millions of voices, bang, they all came out. They all came out. So when I read doctor's opinion, I got that kind of like, oh yeah, I kind of know what they're talking about. And then one day, I'd gone to a meeting in my usual arrogant, I know better self, and I sat in there and I had no identification, I believe, with anybody. And I got up and I walked out and I just thought, I'm going to die. I can't do this. I am going to die. I don't understand what they're saying. They're really not like me. And I remember my phone, I hadn't put it on silent, and I came out and I sat on the floor and I just cried. And I really cried silently because I'm, like I said, really arrogant, full of pride. I don't want no one to know that I'm upset. And my phone rang and I had to answer it because I didn't want anybody to know I was upset. And there was a woman at the end of the phone who talked to me about the allergy and she explained it. And she said something like, Nick, do your legs use? I'm like, oh my God, these people are absolutely so crazy. And I'm like, no, my legs don't use. She said, does your arms use? And I'm like, no, do your eyes? And she went through my whole body, and I'm thinking, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus, I am dying here. I'm laying on the floor. Everybody's going to see me. People are going to know what's wrong with me, and I can't cope. And then she got to my mouth, and she was like, is it your mouth? And I'm just want to shut her up. So I'm like, yes, it's my mouth that uses. So she went, shut your mouth, get up off the floor and go home. And I did, because once she explained to me about the allergy, about putting anything in me, whether that be your bum, your eye, your arm, wherever, if I don't do that, then I've got a chance. I've got a chance. And you know what? I came in and I didn't use again, because I listened to these little bits of what I would call craziness at the time. I did my withdrawing in meetings because it was pre-Zoom. So you have to get up in the morning, go to a meeting, go to a meeting, go to a meeting. Because I knew left alone, I'd have been gone. I'd have been gone. Yeah? So I literally, from about 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, meeting, 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 meeting. And don't get me wrong, in every single one of those meetings, I found 30, 40 people that I was nothing like. But there was always just this one, always just one. There was no getting away, you know? I am special and different. Yeah! And then you'd meet somebody else that was special and different that was just like you. And you're just like, oh, okay, hold on, you know? Or they'd say something like, I feel like this. This is what's happening. You know, I did meet the Happy, Joyous and Free crew, and I was like, I'm going, because I am not happy, joyous and free, you know. This does not work for me. Like, I don't know, you know, and they talked about their cars and their houses. I'd had all that. I'd done all that. I was not happy, joyous and free then, and I'm definitely not happy, joyous and free at that time, you know. And then I met, then I really did meet people like myself that went, this is not for the weak. This is not for the weak, you know? Read Bill's story, how he thought, how he felt, how he drank. Is that you? And it was. It really, really was. You know, admittedly, I didn't go off to war, but when you're shot in, it's bloody hard out there. So for me, it was war, you know? And I'd come back after doing big things and think, yeah, I'm the bollocks. And all my mates would go, yeah, she's really good, you know? And then when they were gone, I was sad and I was lonely, so I was drinking then, using, drinking, using, drinking, using, drinking. That was me. That was my life. And I saw that. I saw that. I always had a plan. Always knew how to make money. Yeah. Bill, all the way through, you know, expert in his field. And because I am slightly grandiose, I'm like, oh, so am I now. You know, I am an expert in my field of destruction. But it's all right. It's actually all right, you know? And then we go on and we start reading more in the book and they talk about the cement that binds me and you. And I'm like, damn, I am like these people, all of them. And that was okay. That was really okay. Because what had happened, the more I stayed in, the more of these meetings that I went to, these one peoples that used to pop out all over the place, I liked them. I'd go, she's really nice. She's a nice woman. She's an addict. I'm an addict. Similarities. I like that. And that's literally what I did, you know? When we came to conceding, because that's what we got to do for step one, didn't we?
Admit that we're powerless. Admit that we're unmanageable.
And I was like, oh no, I'm not going to do that. You cannot make me do that, you know? I am 50. I have got myself to here, going to prison, being stabbed, life's over, house is smashed to smithereens, but I am okay. Yeah. And then again, they said, you're just powerless over you, Nick. And again, because I'm arrogant, I like that. I am superior. Yes, I am powerless over me. So all my defects, this is my experience, all my defects that brought me in, you know, I'm not going to relapse because I've got pride. I'm not going to do that. Kept me here, you know. I am better than most, so I will learn this book. I will do all these things. They all kept me here. But eventually all those defects, I saw them for the beauty that they are, you know. I'm not a God person. Like I said, my higher power is called Sid. And I look at things like that and I go, thanks, Sid. He took all my shit, all my misery, all my pain, all my fear, and he swapped it right round. Like, literally, just went, oh, I'm going to make it so nice for you, Nick. You're going to stay. Yeah? You're going to stay. And you're going to talk. You're going to talk to women, because I didn't talk to women. You know? What could I get from you? I couldn't make any money from you unless I was doing something else, and I'm not going to do that anymore, so, you know? But now I get to talk with women. I get to hold their hand. I get to walk the journey with them. That's my Sid. Because left to my own devices, I would, the lawyers. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So each morning I wake up, hello, Sid. How are you doing? What have you got planned for me today? You know? And this is what he had planned. This is what he had planned. And it's okay. It's okay. Because in accepting powerlessness, very slowly, struggled all the way, but in doing that, I have a power today. Like, I see it as a love. You know, I don't see it as a power. Like, I see it as a love, and I have a love today that I can share with all of you. I'm happy to share it with all of you, you know? And in turn, you're all happy to share it back with me. I'm an addict. We like what we do, and if we do what we like, we are rocking it, you know? And that helps. That so helps. You know, the unmanageability, I pay my bills. That's not about that. It's about accepting that love, having that love, being awake for that love, yeah? So today, I can be unmanageable in the sense that, you know, don't always want to have a bath. That's my truth, you know. Don't always want to answer the phone. Definitely don't always want to make the calls, you know, that kind of thing. But I know if I sit and I say to Sid, oh, kiss a hand. That's me accepting my powerlessness, knowing that I can't do it. And he steps right in, gives me that courage. You know, or gives me the telling off, like, you lazy cow, you know, you got this for free, you give it back, you know, that kind of thing. I have those conversations on a daily. And on a daily, I don't use. I have no obsession to use, like, none. And I come from an area that not a lot of people are in recovery in that sense. So I see stuff, I hear stuff, I still talk to people. But that's not me today. That's not my story today, you know? So one of the things that I would say, if you are new and you are struggling, do this. Do the actions, because the heart will follow. The heart really, really will follow. Even when you don't think so. Even when you're laying on your floor in fetal position, crying silently so nobody hears you, you know? And even when you're doing those things, there's something working in that. There is something really working in that. And whether you believe in a God or the universe or my Sid, just know that you're alive today. Today, that's the gift. That's the gift. And if your head is crazy, it's your head. You know, there's no defense against love. Love you, love others. And this will hold you. This will carry you. Yeah? I remember when someone said, you know, you're powerless against Nicola. And like I said, I was like, yeah, look at me. And then I had to really look at that. I had to really, really look at that. And go, why don't you love you? Why don't you love you? Yeah? And I could look back and go, I weren't really taught how to love me. But it didn't make me what I am, you know. It just fueled me in a different direction. I didn't want to be me. I took this stuff helped me not be me, and I was gone. You know, if I didn't have the allergy, I'd have mostly got to about 22, 23 and thought, well, I'm not doing this no more. Put it down, stop, walk away. But because I had the allergy, there was no gap. There was no, this is not right. You deserve more. You know, it's okay to be you. There was no time for that. And what recovery has done has allowed me that time, allowed me the time to see what's in me. You know, when I first came in, they used to go, oh, you know, you'll get well and you'll go back to how you was. So, for me, I was that child that was systematically abused all the way up, bang, then took drugs, then came into recovery. I don't want to go back anywhere. I don't want to be that person. I want to be what's in here. I want to be, some people would say, what is God given, you know? And I don't know what that is unless I come in here and take the suggestions, read that big book, identify myself in that book. Because really, it don't matter what you lot say. I'm in that book. I cannot deny it, you know? I can open that book anywhere and see me. And see me, you know? So today, I can do that. And that's because I come here. That's because I come to meetings. That is because I talk to like-minded people, you know? That is because people have love and patience with me, yeah? People could have told me to fuck off. They really could have, because I was an arsehole, really was an arsehole. Still a little bit of an arsehole, but I was really an arsehole when I came in. And they didn't. So today, that's what I try to do. Try to show the love. Try to show the understanding, you know? And mostly, I try to share my Sid with yous. Because my Sid's all powerful. Because let's be honest, I am the bollocks. So if you're going to outdo me, you better be the bollocks, you know? And that is what recovery is, though. But that is what recovery has taught me. That is what recovery has taught me. You know, clean house, have a Sid, and help another. You know, it's simple. Yeah, it is. But it's learning that and remembering that. And when you're in that pain, when you're in that, this shit don't work. Why does it work for them and not work for me? Why have they got and I haven't? When all that's going on, I know what I do. I go to myself, oh, you are such an addict. You really are, you know? But you've got a solution, Nick. You have a solution. Work the solution. Yeah? So now, when I'm having my two-minute moments, because they are only two-minute moments, whereas before they were years and years and years, now they are two-minute moments, I know what I suffer with, because eventually I accepted powerlessness. You know, I check my unmanageability. You know, when I'm feeling that, page 52, okay, the bedevilments, I look at that, and I try to pretend that none of them are me. And I'll just go, oh, yeah, oh, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, that's going on for me at the moment. That's going on for me at the moment. So I then get to work my program. I then get to look at it. I get, oh, thank you. I then get to self-search. And all those things I've learned being in here, you know. I remember my very, very, very first meeting. And I was sitting there, and this man was sharing back. So the reading was, I think it's page 52, the businessman, you know. He uses, he decides he's not going to use anymore, goes back to using, dies. My life, okay? So there was that. Then this man was talking about using for 27 years, being a family man, doing all these things. And I remember really judging him, like really judging him, thinking, that's disgusting, yeah? And then having, again, a moment of clarity where my Sid went, Nick, you were using for 37 years, yeah? And I could have, in that moment, felt such shame and such guilt that I went and never came back. But I didn't. partly because my pride wouldn't let me and I didn't want anybody to know that I felt shame and guilt, but I didn't. So if you are new and you are in pain, welcome, welcome. Because you see that pain, if you can, as I call it, walk through that fire, that pain will so become your armour, will so become this, you know, your platform to help another, that it does just fade out. That obsession to use really does go, really, it just disappears. Like at one stage in my arrogance, I used to go, oh, drinking and using is so last year. I know, I've grown and learnt since then. But it does actually, it does go, you know. So thank you, really thank you. It has been a pleasure and an honour. I am really selfish. So doing this keeps me clean, just know that. Yeah, right. But it is a real privilege to be here. So thank you.